keep it player while some choose to play it safe. But check the resume, it's risky business in the A. I keep it player while some choose to play it safe. But check the resume, it's risky business in the A.
All right, welcome to another installation of the ATL Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Rabon, digital editor for the Atlanta Daily World. And I have with me Nabias Wilbon. Nabias, can you give me a little bit about your title, your background? Tell people what you do.
Well, sports writer / multimedia journalist. Write for sites Shadowy, ESPN.com, ESPN Radio, and 1100 AM The Game here in Atlanta.
There you go. And so this is obviously a busy time right now. You cover the NBA, I know. I've seen you at a lot of Hawks games. We just came off the draft. Free agency opened up today. And obviously a lot of the big questions on everyone's mind, two big free agents right now, Chris Paul and Dwight Howard. To Atlantans, obviously the biggest name of those two is Dwight Howard, guy who's from here. We know the Hawks are pursuing him pretty hard. In fact, got in a little bit of trouble for maybe pursuing him too hard during the offseason before free agency opened up. What can you tell us about the latest on Dwight Howard and if there's any chance of him coming to the Hawks?
Well, let's start with the getting in trouble. That was one of those things where the ticket office put out something saying that they were pursuing him, and that's considered tampering. From what I understand, nobody in the Hawks front office, i.e. Danny Ferry and that whole crew, knew anything about that or authorized it. So it is. And here's the other thing. Not even that many people actually saw the email. Mm-hmm. Once it got out, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, cool, we have to do what we have to do and stop this. It should not have been said. It should not have gotten out. And it got caught. However, AJC reporter found it. And once he found it, he reported it. Once he reported it, obviously, the league found out about it. Atlanta Hawks. Now on to whether Dwight Howard's coming here. I give it a 5% chance.
5%?
Yeah, I give it a 5% chance.
All right. Now, why only a 5% chance? Because I've been telling the people myself that I think it's going to happen. I really do. I think he went to L.A. He got a taste of it. I don't think he likes it. I think he's ready to come on home. But you say only a 5% chance. Why just 5%?
I thought being nice to give it 5%, because I really think it's less than that, but I'm just saying that, one, he hasn't said he doesn't want to be in Atlanta. Two, I don't know if he's the kind of guy that's going to be able to play for a Hawks new coach, Mike Budenholzer. And three, I don't know if he's a Danny Ferry type guy. Yes, don't get me wrong. Dwight Howard at his best is one of the top 5 players in the NBA. And people downgrade him because of what he did this year. But, I mean, he had a bad year this year. He led the league to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And he still gave you 17 a night. I mean, he's given 17 and 12 a night in a bad year. Most NBA centers now would kill for that type of production. People can say they're wrong about Dwight Howard, but he's still a great player. And if he's healthy and he's right, he's automatically right. He's in that conversation with LeBron and Kobe and Kevin Durant to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Does he need to learn the post moves? Obviously, yes, he does, but he's got plenty of games. I don't think he's coming here because basically everything he says, everything that's going on his camp is that, yes, but I don't think that.
Wait, sorry, Nabias. You broke up a little bit here on the our high technology phone line. Can you just repeat the last part of what you said?
Oh, well, I'm saying was I don't think his dad would love for him to be here, but I don't think the wife wants to be here. He doesn't want to be home. And part of it's quite honest, he got all those big mamas here, man. He's trying to stay with them all him.
all his exes live in Atlanta.
All his exes live in Atlanta, Well, or they go to Georgia State or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think there was a poll recently. Atlanta's the number one home for young ladies looking for a sugar daddy or a sugar daddy type agreement. Looking for an agreement, I think, was the term they actually used. So,
money.
Yeah, that may be something.
I'm not mad at him, man. Look, and let me say this real quick, man. The thing is, I like the white of eye. I think he's a great basketball player. I don't think I know he's a great basketball player. They can downgrade him all they want to and talk about him, but you can't say that he's not a he's physically weak. Because this guy came back 6 months or so early off a bad back. You know? Most guys will come back with bad backs. You look at Larry Johnson, who had a back. You look at Tracy McGrady, who had a back. Most guys who have back injuries are never the same. Here comes Dwight coming back early off a back injury.
Having said that, though, you know, you just named some guys who came back eventually and were never the same. Is that a big reason why maybe some people are like Danny Ferry or tentative? Because you did say you weren't sure he was a Danny Ferry guy.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know if when I play by this system, it's going to be a slower down. He's got to play more like a Tim Duncan type guy. I don't know if that's Dwight's game. Dwight likes a free-ranging, fun, flowing kind of offense. And I don't know if the Hawks are going to play that kind of offense. And I also don't know if they're going to have enough of the kind of guys around him. Like, there's not going to be a Chris Paul coming in. There's not going to be another guy that's going to come.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think he's going to want to be in Houston.
I'm a big Jeff Teague guy. Not a lot of people are, but I'm a big Jeff Teague fan. What's that? I seen what he can do when he puts his mind to it. I was there the game. Josh Smith actually got himself suspended for some actions detrimental to the team, and Jeff Teague got introduced last, and he had a swagger about him. You know, that is something you can't teach. And I think he went out that night and dropped something like 20 and 10, 10 assists, and really controlled the game. You know, when Josh Smith wasn't there, he really stepped in. And that was something I was like, all right, if this guy really got it in his mind that he was a guy who could do that every night, then he could do that every night. But that's something that I seen from that not a lot of people see. You not a big Jeff Teague guy?
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Jeff Teague, but I just don't know if his priority in life is basketball. I just don't know that about him. I know he likes playing video games. I know he's a great video game player, but I just don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's a good basketball player. I think he could be great. I just don't know if he's focused enough to be a great basketball player. I think he just likes. I think he's one of those guys who likes playing basketball because he's good at playing basketball.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing in and of itself, but I just don't think he dedicated to it enough to where he could be a Chris Paul, D. Will type guy, even though he has the physical capability to be on that Rondo type level.
I could see it. Like I said, it was what really got me was that I could see his ceiling, and he has a very high ceiling.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's cool about it, and that's how he tricks you, man. Because I mean, he'll have a game like that. He may have two games where he doesn't do anything. He'll have another game like that. You know, never. And his stats are all good for his year, but if you really look at his overall efficiency rating, man, if you're saying to be improved, a lot of it is because of poor decision making. A lot of that poor decision making comes from lack of focus.
Yeah, and personally, and this will be the last thing we'll say about Jeff Teague, because there's not that much time for Jeff Teague on this podcast, but I feel like a lot of that was because Josh Smith was there, and I think Josh Smith kind of had that attitude, and it really got into the whole team, and I doubt he'll be back. Have you heard anything that suggests that he might be?
Well, here's the thing with that with Josh, and then we'll transition. Here's the thing with Teague. When Josh pulls the rebound down and dribbles it up the court, a Rajon Rondo is not going to let that happen. A Chris Paul is not going to let that happen. A Isaiah Thomas type guy, any type of point guard, any type of Chauncey Wilkes when he was really good, you know? This kid, you know, that's his ass. They're not going to tolerate that. They're going to say, hey, man, give me the damn ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm the point guard, give me the ball. They're going to clap for the ball, the team hold down that rebound, and they're not going to let him bring up the court so he can set up for a 23-foot jump. They're not going to pass it to him when he set up outside. They're just not going to do that. He does that. That's on him as much as it is on Josh. As much as we talk about Josh making those shots, they pass it to him.
But he's the star player, though. He's the star player, though. He's the $13 million man.
You can't get mad at the shot selection when you pass the ball. Remember me? I wouldn't pass Josh Smith the ball if you were.
Yeah, but look, you know Larry Drew. You know Larry Drew loved that man like it was his stepson. Larry Drew loved that man like it was his stepson.
I love Larry. I think Larry is a great coach. I think that's why he's gone. I think that's why Josh Smith is going to be gone. I mean, to answer your other question, and I like Josh. I think both sides are just at that point. J.Q. Smith said it. I've said it. Other guys said it. Both sides was at that point where, and there's no malice, there's no ill will, there's no bad intentions. It's just, we've gotten as far as we're going to get with each other and it's time to go.
Yeah.
It's just like any other relationship, whether it be boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, whatever. Just sometimes you get to the point where you look at it and you're like, you know what, baby, the same one. And she's like, you know what, you're right, baby, the same one.
Yeah.
And you can cut it off then, or you can kind of keep going and keep trying to piece it together until you end up on a snack.
I like where you took that. And Danny Ferry doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's gonna let it keep going till you're on smack. He really seems like the kind of guy who's really ready and willing to cut it off.
Yeah, man, I've been watching shows, man. That's what it's pretty intense, man. You don't want to get to that point, man. You want to cut it off before that, and, you know.
Before you snap.
Before Josh Smith comes back, when he comes back to town with whoever team, you know, he'll get the video monetized and, you know, hopefully the standing ovation until he takes his first bad jump shot, which that'll be very interesting. And, you know, life will go on. That happened. I mean, he served 8 wonderful years here. The Hawks had one of their better times of success as far as when he was there with 6-7 straight playoff runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been tough. You know, time for both sides.
And yeah, I do have to apologize to our listeners. You're breaking up a little bit over here, Tobias. I think that might be.
Yeah,
I got you. Now you're good. Sorry, like I said, this is high tech, high quality connection that we've got here. That we're using.
Like I was saying, just to reiterate, like all so short, the marriage is over. I don't think it's a way to work it out. I think it's the irreconcilable differences, and it's time. When he comes back that first time, hopefully the Hawks do it right and they're classy and they make sure he gets a nice video montage before the game and, you know, the fans give him a standing ovation when he's introduced for that first time and then once the ball is tipped off, he takes that first stupid jump shot and he can go out to go with him or whatever and keep him up.
Yeah, you know what, I think really what Josh Smith deserves is my old coach used to say, give him a two-finger ripple. And that was, you know, instead of clapping with your whole hand, you'd clap with your two fingers. And that was to show someone, hey, we appreciate you, but not that much. So that.
No, I disagree. He should get the full thing. I mean, because here's the thing, man. If you really look at it, when Josh Smith came to the Hawks, the Hawks were nothing. I mean, they were nothing. They were terrible. I mean, they were bad. I mean, it just came off 16-17 win season. You know, it just had guys like Nene Leon and, you know, Jason Terry. I went to a man out in San Antonio. Got in all that trouble. Stephen Jackson.
Oh, Captain Jack.
An older Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Right.
I mean, they were just done. They were just dead in the water.
Yeah,
they were done.
They also got a guy named Joe Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, he brought credibility to the Hawks. He won that dunk contest. People started kind of getting into the Hawks. He had some great success. No, he deserves a full standing ovation when he comes back.
I'd
be very disappointed.
I call for the two-finger ripple myself, but, you know, because I feel like that really is synonymous with the effort that he gave, especially the past few seasons. But another topic for another day. Speaking of Josh, he is part of a big, not a guy who's gotten a lot of press, but a guy who will be pretty coveted in this free agent class that's coming up. What can you tell us about where he may be headed, since you don't think he's staying with the Hawks, as well as, you know, if there are going to be any other splashes in free agency? I was asking about Josh Smith. Where do you think he'll land, as well as some of the other names in this free agent class? You know, where do you think Dwight Howard will be going, and if there are any other surprises?
I think Dwight's going to end up staying in L.A. when it's all said and done. I don't know how I think he's going to stay in L.A. If he doesn't stay in L.A., I see him going to Houston. I think that would be a good mix. Him, Chandler Parsons, James Harden, Lynn.
that Beastly Squad. I think Beastly Squad.
I don't think. I think he's looking at LA, and quite honestly, he's looking at a very old Kobe. And the Lakers want him to be the man. They want Dwight to be the man. They want Dwight to be the guy to chase over once Kobe retires on Kobe. And he's physically capable of it. I just don't know if he's mentally capable of it.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem. That's what may lead him out of LA. So if he decides to band up and walk into that destiny, I think he'll stay. And it depends. And the one thing I've learned is that we don't know what the White House mindset is until he actually makes a decision. Even when he makes a decision, he still kind of got to wait until the ink is dry. He might change his mindset.
Yeah, he might. He might. Maybe he'll sign like a 1-year contract. You know, I could see that happening. Like, nah,
why not? There's a bunch of 1-year deals, right?
Yeah. Let me just sign a 1-year contract. Let me sign for 1 year, and we'll talk about this at the end of the season. What about Josh Smith? What about Josh? Where do you see him winding up?
Well, see, the thing with Josh would be interesting. I see Detroit kind of pursuing him. I can see him going to Detroit. That is a good young team. They get the right mix up there. Maybe Boston pairing with Rondo. Yeah, I could have a lot of suitors. I don't think that match contract he so desires.
Yeah, I don't know that I see that either. That's the thing. I could see Toronto maybe reaching. Now that Brooklyn has used up all their cap space with that big trade with the Celtics, that was another team I could see really finding a way to overpay Josh Smith. Was Brooklyn getting the phrase I've coined is Prokhorov, as when you overpay for a guy by at least $5 million.
Well, the Brooklyn Nets are just like dying to be like in third place in the Eastern Conference. I just don't see.
Yeah.
Like they have a beef that goes back to, you know, that Hawks Celtics playoff series. What was that? 08?
Yeah, 08.
Yeah, with the whole game plan and all that, and that was never settled. Mm-hmm. And so even though for all these years, they still that beef is still there. I'm curious how they're going to work out. They don't like each other.
Yeah, I don't know that I see Joe being a problem. He could take less shots than he's taking now, but
It's probably more because, they both do the same. The whole dribbling match.
Wait, sorry, you broke up again there. I don't know what's going on.
Like they both do the same thing on the court. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
Because it's all dribble, jab, step. It's like, how much of that do you want to watch? How much ISO? Like, so do you ISO Joe?
I could see that. Yeah, I could really see that. All right, so let's look at the last thing I want to talk about as we wind down here is the Hawks draft. Obviously, a lot of movement. Got a couple foreign guys in the first round. Made, I think, what was it, 4 total picks or 4 pickups, I guess you would call it. Tell me,
picked up the kid from Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, so what did you think about their draft overall?
So, I'll be honest with you, the kid Schroeder, I think he has a very bright future in the NBA. He can play. Lucas, I'm curious about the center out of Brazil.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
He looks about 12 years old. I saw a picture of that guy. He looks like he's about 12, but he's, 7 feet tall.
He's playing against Roman since he was like 14, but that's kind of good, but it's still not NBA quality.
Yeah.
Same with the fashion, from Europe, I'm curious to see how he will adapt to the NBA. I think they're probably going to try to stash him over in Europe for another year, let him kind of develop over there a little bit more.
That was my thought, too.
And probably bring him back. But, if they can get him in summer league, and he plays well in summer league, and he plays well in training camp, he might end up here. Because, the Hawks still need a center. They moved up to get this guy. So, whatever they saw was enough for them to move up and be like, okay, we really got to get this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Alright, I personally don't think Dwight's going back to the Lakers. You were in that locker room too when we were talking to him, and he looked beat down, looked tired. He was like, man, I cannot wait to not have to deal with this every night. That was my thought about Dwight. I can't see him going back, but maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
I mean, things change all the time. People getting your ears. And keep in mind, he'll be leaving $30 million on the table, bro.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, man. He's got all them kids and baby mamas, man. That's a lot of diapers, man. A lot of video games.
$30 million does buy a lot of diapers. But the thing is, though, if people don't know that you're making all that money, they can't hit you up for as much child support.
Yeah, well, they don't get it anyway, so you may as well just get more money.
Exactly. All right, Nabias, man, we appreciate having you on the ATL podcast. How do people find you if they want to follow you, if they want to catch you on the radio or read what you're writing? How do they find you? How do they keep in touch?
You tweet me at nwilborn19. That's nwilborn19. You can catch me on shadowy.com. You can catch me on 1100 AM Wednesday 6 to 8. And Instagram, same nwilborn19, or Facebook. And we're pretty accessible out here, guys. So, look me up, find me, and I'm tweeting, I'm writing. Doing the whole thing.
All right, Nabias, appreciate you being with us.
Anytime, bro.
All right. That was Nabias Wilbon. Thank you for being with us, for listening to the ATL podcast. Again, I'm Dion Rabowan, and I will catch you next time.